I'm glad to see all of you here today that have made it out in this 35, 40 below weather, and I just appreciate you coming. And in my head, I'm visualizing a whole bunch of Baptists sitting on a couch with a comforter around them watching TV. And we miss you guys too and are thinking of you. I want to start this morning with a silly story. It takes place, let's say, a Baptist church among three Baptist women. Let's pick that up. These three ladies, church was over, and they'd gathered in the foyer, and they were talking to one another. And I know this is hard to believe. They were a little bit gossipy, and they were talking about their friend Anna, who had been away for the weekend and had just gotten back. And as they were looking at one another, one of the friends just was bursting inside. She says, I got to tell you this. I am so excited. I overheard Anna talking to her husband, and they're going to the zoo. The friend said, going to the zoo? Why would they go to the zoo? Well, I heard her say that they're going to see the trained deer, D-E-E-R. The trained deer, the other said. You must be mistaken. You must have misheard that. It can't be. And another one of the ladies stood up and said it wasn't the trained deer that they were talking about, honey. I heard that same conversation, and she was talking to her husband about getting tickets for the train deer, D-E-A-R. The other one rolled her eyes and said, neither of you have got it right. I don't know what's wrong with your hearing. But she said, I heard them too. And they were talking about musicians. And they were talking about each of they were talking about a person with a trained ear, E-A-R. And finally, Anna walked up and she said, "What are you guys talking about?" And they told her about the debate that was going on. And she says, "You guys," she says, "I wasn't talking about any of those things. I was asking my husband if when I was gone it had rained here." I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where people don't hear things right, or they're not really listening. I don't know if you know anything about Franklin D. Roosevelt. He was the president of the United States for a number of years. He was a character. He had the Rough Riders, a military group that were in Cuba and a number of places. He was kind of this guy that liked the rough and tumble. But when he became president, he had to go to all of these various suave events. And it just drove him crazy because everybody was kind of plastic. No one was real. He would stand in a reception line that all these people would come into this great banquet, for instance, and they'd all have to shake his hand. And he says, you know, it got to a point where it didn't matter what I said to them, they wouldn't hear me. So he decided one day, as all these people were coming past shaking his hand, that he would just say something obnoxious. A lady came up and shook his hand and said, "How are you, sir, Mr. President?" And he says, "I am great. Yesterday I killed my grandmother." And the lady looked at him and kind of smiled and said, "Lovely. Nice to talk to you," and went on. Next guy came up and he says, "Mr. President, how are you?" And he says, "I'm fabulous. I just killed my grandmother yesterday." And this man smiled, and he said, "That's nice, and we'll be seeing you, Mr. President." Next guy came up, and he said the exact same thing. And they continued to say, "Well, sir, that's wonderful. Continue the great work." Finally, a diplomat from France came through, and he says, "Mr. President, how are you?" And Roosevelt looked at him. He says, "I am great. Yesterday, I killed my grandmother." And the diplomat looked at him for a second and said, "Well, she probably deserved it anyway." Have you ever been in a situation when you're not hearing or not listening? We have entered chapter 8 of the book of Luke. If you're visiting with us, we have been going through the book of Luke. And there has been a building. Dr. Luke has been building and intensifying his two things in the life of Jesus. The first thing he's been intensifying is he's been creating this understanding that Jesus is this master teacher. And we spent some time on the Sermon on the Plains as in contrast to the Sermon on the Mount and this incredible teaching that Jesus had. And Luke is communicating to all of those who are his readers that Jesus is a master teacher. At the same time, another intensity is happening. If you have your sermon notes, I gave you a copy of this chart. I don't expect you to read it, but it's an intensifying of the miracles and the healings that Jesus is doing. When he began his ministry in chapter 4, he was able to drive out a demonic man and deal with a mother, Peter's mother-in-law, who had a fever. But you see Luke intensifying the miracles so that by the time we've gotten to chapter 8, he has had power over nature. He stilled the storm with his voice. He has had power of deliverance. We have a man so demonized that he has over 5,000 demons inhabiting him, and Jesus cast them out with a word. We have healing taking place where a lady literally needed to just touch his cloak and years of sickness were washed away. We even have a resurrection where a little girl, Jairus' daughter, died, and Jesus raises her back. And so you see Luke rising these two themes that this Jesus is the master teacher, and this Jesus functions in power and authority. And in the middle of that emphasis, it's almost like Luke pauses and said, are you listening? And Luke introduces us to the first parable that he will write down. Now, as we get later into the book, there's going to be an intensive number of parables that you don't find in any of the other gospels. But he wants us to read this parable. It is considered the first of all parables, in terms of it's the first parable in which Jesus tells his disciples that they're confused by it, and then he explains them to them, and at the end of this parable you hear this phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." If you can hear what I'm saying, I want you to hear me. Now, it's interesting as we look at this, because the problem with this parable is many of us have heard it many, many, many times before. It's called the parable of the sower and the seed. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In fact, this is the shortest of the three versions of that. And the others include, for instance, in Matthew, a full prophecy out of Isaiah 6. And Mark includes a few more details that Luke doesn't. But basically, Jesus is telling about a farmer in that day. And what they would do is they would go to their field to plant the crop, and they would take a bag of seed and they would throw it wherever it would go, and they would throw it, and then they'd come back with their oxen and plows and plow up the land, and the seed would go into the soil and would grow up. As Jesus tells this parable, which is a spiritual, a physical story with a spiritual truth, he talks about where the seed lands. Some land on a pathway, which is beaten down and hard. Sometimes he talks about a rocky ground where there's not very much soil, but mostly rocks and not very much moisture. He talks about falling on soil that has thorns all through it so that the thorns would choke off the crop. And then about a good soil, rich, deep, black soil. As he starts to explain to his disciples, he says really clearly, "Let me tell you what the seed is." And as he explains it, this seed is God's word, God's truth, God speaking and God talking to each of you and I and helping us listen. Now, the problem with this parable is some of us have heard it for years and years and years, and it's like, yeah. Just get on with things. But Jesus wants us to stop and say, are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you hearing Jesus speak to you? Are you listening to his words? Are you responding to him teaching you after he has spoken? It's funny how many of us believe that we're hearing where we're not always hearing. I came across a story this week of a man who was absolutely convinced his wife was stone deaf. He said, every time I talk to her, she doesn't answer and things like that. And so she kept denying it, and they had this debate going on. You're not listening. I am too listening. No, you're not listening. And so he was going to test it. And when he tells the story, he said, she was in the living room sitting reading a book. And I went way back to the far end of the kitchen, and I shouted out really loud, honey, do you want some tea? And he said, I sat there and I listened. Not a word. She didn't hear me at all, I'm sure. And so he comes out of the kitchen and stands beside the door and says again, the same loudness, honey, do you want some tea? Not a word, not a response. He was more and more convinced that he was so right and he was going to prove it to her. And so he walks up behind her and the same loud voice says, honey, do you want some tea? And she turns to him and said, I've said yes 3 times. Haven't you heard me? Sometimes we think we're listening, but actually we're not. And so I want to take a few moments as Luke kind of emphasizes this, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Are we hearing what Jesus is saying as he starts to tease? Because as we go further into Luke, suddenly all of his teachings are going to come up more and more, a number of his parables and other things that he teaches, and he wants you and I to hear what he's saying. Let's take them through step at a time. The first, he talks about the seed falling on hard ground. And as you heard Bernice read it, the interesting part is it was a pathway. And in those days, we sometimes, nowadays, we kind of walk around the fields that we farm. But they had paths that would go through the fields. And that's where the farmer would walk to spread his grain or his seed. And sometimes it was a major path through a field to get to the other side. And so it was packed and was hard, and the seed could not sink in. And the Bible says that the seed, which is the Word of God, lays there and does not go in and does not, because it's hard. And he compares it to your heart and my heart. It's the person who would say, well, I'm interested in what Jesus has to say to me, or I'm interested in his teaching. But it's kind of at the surface level. They're intrigued with God's word, maybe even fascinated with God's teaching, but they don't take it personally. They don't let it sink in. There's no personal application to it, and it doesn't enter their hearts. Interesting comment that Jesus makes is when Satan sees those seeds in our life and they're not sinking in, he comes and he takes them away as fast as he can, like a bird will swoop down and start to eat seeds that are laying on top of the ground. There are those who want to hear what Jesus said, but out of kind of interest, intrigue, sense, but they really don't want to take it personally. Over the years, I'll be shaking hands at the back, and people will come up to me and say these odd things. Like someone will say, you know, I really hope my spouse was listening to that sermon. Or you'll hear someone say, well, you know, so-and-so it was in church that said, I really hope they heard what you said today, Pastor. And it's always about someone else. It's not about me. And so the Lord wants us to stop and say, is our heart hard? When Jesus is speaking, do we let it sink in or do we push it away? Well, it's not about me. It's not personal. When really it is. The hard heart is a hard place to have. It's that heart that doesn't really want to receive what God has for you and for me. And so Jesus is saying, you need to check your heart. If it's hard, you have to start softening that ground up. You have to break that ground up so that the seed will go in, so the word will settle into your heart. You have to take it and you have to start to live it out, and you have to start to walk with it, and you have to hear it for your own sake. There are many people nowadays that aren't listening anymore. Even as they're in discussion, it's like they're putting their arguments together with the whole purpose of arguing back. So they're not really listening. And Jesus says, stop. Are you hearing me? Are you letting my truth sink in? Are you meditating on it? Are you reflecting on it? Are you taking it personal? Are you applying it intimately? There are those who never let God's word sink in. There's a second soil that he talks about. And I remember being in Palestine and coming across this kind of soil all the time, because it's a rocky land. And so you would have soil that had kind of blown in with the storms or the winds and settled down. And it would be just so thin. And then below it would be hard rock. Now, sometimes as the storms would come through, they would not only drop the dirt there, but sometimes the moisture would come and pool there. And on a hot day, that soil would be nice and moist and warm from the sun. And if you put a seed into it, it would start to grow almost right away and start to sprout up right away. But as the days went on and as the dryness started to take all that moisture away, this little sprout that had jumped up would start to wither and start to dry and then start to fall and start to die, because it had no depth. It's interesting when Jesus is talking about this, he says, this person is a person who hears my word, and they have a joy. They're thrilled. They're enthusiastic about it. It's like, wow, this is so good. This is so fun. We should talk more about that. I want to hear more about that second coming stuff. I want to hear more about this thing. I want to hear more about Jesus teaching about that. And we should have a seminar on spiritual gifts. And you hear this person going on and on about, so excited. Jesus said, but what happens is as time goes on, they have no depth to that. It's an emotional reaction. There's nothing sustained to it. And he says, as testings come, or troubles come, or persecution come, that will all get dried up, and the emotion will be changed from that thing to their trial or their difficulty or their struggles. And they'll forget all about that. He calls it kind of a shallow heart. That heart that has no depth to it. That talks about it. I'm growing, but it's a quick emotional reaction that is lost so quickly. It's not sustained. Jesus wants us to be placing his truth into the depth of broken, soft, deep, black soil so that we'll grow, not the shallow places. So often we're in a culture that's reacting here and there. And Jesus just doesn't want us to react. He wants us to grow deep, to have a place where our roots go down and grab that moisture and come and eventually become fruitful and multiply. The third soil he talks about is what I would call a distracted heart. It's a seed that goes into seemingly good soil, but there's other things planted with it around it, weeds and all kinds of different things that will steal the moisture and steal the nutrients in the soil, and they'll grow up around, and it's interesting the word he uses, they'll grow up around and they'll choke out, the weeds will choke out the grain as it grows. I want to suggest to you, it's a person who allows God's word to get into them. But as life goes on, other things distract them. Other things divert their attention, and other things take their energy and their strength and the sustenance in their life, and it stops pouring into God's word, and these other things grow up and choke it off. It's interesting that the contrast, Jesus says, it can be worries. I would suggest in our culture, it can be fear. But he also says it could be riches. It's what do you put your attention to? When God puts a truth into your life, do you give it attention? Or is the energy put in other things? For some, it's riches. I'm gonna work hard. And all the focus gets off God, and onto what I'm gonna become. For others, it's about pleasures. After work, I'm going to. This weekend, I'm going to. And suddenly we allow these other things that maybe not are even bad, but they choke off what God has placed in your heart and your mind. And as I start to look at these three, I start to realize that Jesus almost pauses as you look at the passage. He almost pauses and he looks around at his disciples, and he makes this fascinating statement. He says, "So pay attention to what you hear. To those who listen to my teachings, more understanding will be given. Otherwise, if you focus on what Jesus is speaking into your life, if you focus on the word of God, he will give you more truth. He will give you richer truth. He will deepen your roots and encourage your growth and make you more fruitful. He will do all of that." But then he says this, and I find this fascinating. He says, "But for those who don't listen, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them." Even though they think they figured Jesus out and Jesus is teaching out and what Jesus is about, all that, he says it'll be taken from them. They will live in this lie that they understand who Jesus is or what Jesus is called and Jesus is doing and all of those things. They will be shallow on the surface or just so deep. Or choked off. He will repeat these words, and they really come out of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 6 is a story of Isaiah's calling on his life, and the Lord asking, "Who should I send?" And Isaiah's response, "Send me." And then Jesus predicts the children of Israel, "You will go and you'll preach to them, you'll speak to my word, you prophetically talk to them with revelation that comes from me, and they just won't listen. They will think they understand, but they will not know." I had to sit on that for a while and think about that for a while. I know people all over the country who used to go to church or sometimes go to church, or they kind of don't read their Bibles anymore. They pray only when they're in crisis and all of that. And yet they would deceive themselves into thinking they're spiritual, where Jesus said, I have taken that truth from them. But for you who listen, I will take you and make you deeper. He does that by talking about the fourth soil. The fourth soil is a soil that is deep and black and rich. And it's full of nutrients, and it has the proper moisture coming up from it. And as the roots go down and are nourished, the stalk goes up, and then it comes into fruitfulness, and the seeds are filled, or the fruit is filled, and suddenly you have this incredible thing. It's that person who can take his truth, the truth of God, and not only keep it in their mind, but move it into their heart and out into their life, and so they make this personal and practical. It's a commitment to keep on keeping on with God's truth, and that patience causes growth and consistency and transformation in our life. It says in the message these words: "These are the good-hearted who seize the word." Did you hear that? Seize the word and hold on to it no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. And so Jesus wants us to have this heart that listens to him, pays attention to him. Now, in the groups that would follow him, you and I could even paint a picture of who was following and who wasn't. There were massive crowds, and some had come to see the miracles, and some had come to see the wow of what Jesus could do. And some were fascinated with his unique style of teaching and were quite amazed of his authority and his boldness and how he spoke. There's others who came to criticize, and you can see them standing in the back with their arms crossed, kind of taking notes whenever he may have said something they didn't like. But right in the front were 12 men. And around them were several women. If you heard Bernice read this morning, a number of women traveled with Jesus as well. And they literally had been transformed through his miraculous power. And they had experienced the movement of God through his words. And they took every word and they seized upon it and held it and applied it and walked it out. In Luke's gospel, he adds one other dynamic that the other gospels don't add in this place. They add in other places, but not in this place. Jesus follows this parable with a second little parable, just a verse. And it talks about this. It says, "No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed." Now, you may have heard, does that hide it under a bushel or things like that? This is slightly different wording. And then it says this: a lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen for all those who enter the house. Why put these two together? He's saying to you and I that as we take in God's truth, as we become listeners, as we allow it to go not only into our mind, but into our heart, as we allow it to grow and to prosper and to mature, and as that truth is applied, it has to be applied for others to see. You don't take his truth and hide it. You don't take his truth and keep it to yourself. You take his truth and you put it up so others can see. It's interesting because one of the things that you see if you've driven around our county in the middle of at fall is you'll see all of the grain swishing back and forth, and in the very top is this big heads of grain or corn or all those various things that are planted around here. That's one picture. The second picture is a light. And in the middle of a dark room, that light is seen by all who walk in. Have you been listening to Jesus? Have you heard him speak into your life? Have you sat down and read his scriptures and said, "This is really good, but we've never moved it beyond interest. We've kept it shallow on that ground"? Or have you got so emotionally excited about this and then suddenly got distracted by other things? Are you one who is sincerely allowing this to grow but have become so involved in other things that eventually the truth of God's life gets choked out? Or have you cleaned away the weeds? Have you planted in the deep places? Have you nurtured and taken it as it sinks deep and grows full? Jesus said, that's my truth. That's what I want you to do, is I want you to take my truth, take it deep, allow it to grow full. That's God's word for you today. Are you hearing that? Is it new? Is it deeper? Would you close in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, as we look at this incredible truth today, it's simple, it's well known. The story, even as little kids, we've taken our crayons and we've made pictures of. But it's a truth that's really relevant to this day. A day that ignores truth and somehow glorifies lies. Lord, teach us to sit at your feet. Give us the ears to hear. Allow us to allow your truth to grow more fully and richly in us. Take us deeper. And allow that fruitfulness, that light, to be seen by all, so that they may know that we have received your truth and allowed it to grow in our hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name.